Hey everyone, so you're wondering where my friend Mike Lindell is? Well, guess what? He was actually creating the My Slipper. It's like walking on clouds, right? Don't forget to use the promo code Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R, and you will receive 40% off of your My Slippers. Your whole family is going to love it. Back in the Rio Grande. I'm back here in the great state of Texas. I got to tell you, I love the people of Texas. I know I say this over and over again, but I really do. Two of the greatest states, Texas, number one, Florida, number one. Those are two of my favorite states. Why? Because they've got great governors, Governor Greg Abbott, Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida. So basically what I did was I came from Orlando. I was with my family. I took a 1 week vacation with my family. We went to Orlando. We took the kids. I know it doesn't even sound like a vacation, does it, folks? All of you out there who are parents who have been to an amusement park, you know what I'm talking about. It's literally like you need a vacation from your vacation, right? You need a staycation. But we took our family, 17 of us really, to Orlando. We went to Universal Studios. We went to SeaWorld. We did all the fun stuff. Then we drove out to the beach. It was the first time all of our kids have been together in a long time. And I feel so blessed for that. And then I came right back home and I was right back on an airplane the next morning to Texas because, of course, we have a border crisis. Not a challenge, Jen Psaki. Not a challenge, Vice President Kamala Harris, and not a challenge, President Joe Biden. This is a serious, serious crisis at the border, and it's getting worse by the minute. I'm going to be talking about that, talking about what they, Governor Greg Abbott announced that at the Freeman Coliseum facility in San Antonio, there have been reports that some of the minors have been sexually abused. We've got 1,300 minors in these cramped spaces. And unfortunately, it appears that these allegations are real, that people, young people within these facilities have been abused by other people in the facility. So, and those are the migrants that they're holding. They're the illegal immigrants that are in these facilities underage. So this is a very serious allegation. Also, the fact that they can't even separate COVID-19 patients from one another. I mean, look at all that we had to go through, right? I mean, all this craziness. Now they're even talking about a variant. I'm going to go into that too. How crazy is this? COVID-19, now COVID BS 117, or I think it's B117, not BS. But okay, that's how I'm feeling right now. We've got, you know, issues with that. We have issues on the border with our national security, something that I spent time with Jim Jordan yesterday discussing. I mean, folks, there is so much happening right now that we can't even process it in a normal way, right? We can't even process it in a normal way. I've got a lot to share with you, a lot of breaking news. We'll talk about DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who actually came from Cuba around the same time my mother did in the 1960s. But this guy is like so far to the left, it's not even funny. And by the way, he's supposed to be out here in the McAllen sector with me today. But guess what? I don't think he's going to be on the ground with any of the guys that are actually dealing with the front line. And I'm talking about the people on the front lines, right? I'm not quite certain yet what his plans are. But what I'm hearing is that, you know, we know for certain he's not taking any questions from reporters. He's also not going to be out there on the front lines with the guys that can give him the straight up, the skinny on what's going on here at the border. Look, you can get all the links at sarahcarter.com. That's, you know, all of my social media links. Go Instagram. I'd love for you to follow me on there. We do post pictures. I post videos on there quite often about what's going on during the day, in the daily life of traveling along the border and working on these stories, which you all are a part of and a part of my life. So I love sharing that with you. Also, Twitter, follow me at Twitter, Parler, all of those links, Rumble, YouTube. You can get it at sarahacarter.com, sarahacarter.com. And please sign up for our email list. This is very important. We have a great email list. I'm trying to grow it even bigger. This way you don't get shadow banned. I mean, I know for certain that on Twitter, it's a huge problem. Janice Dean, I feel for you. Remember, Janice Dean has been tweeting about this as well from Fox News. She's our great meteorologist and a true soldier against Governor Andrew Cuomo, who is turning the great state of New York into a cesspool. And we'll talk about that as well. You know, I have sponsors, but there is no sponsor that I like to talk about more right now at this point in time than AMAC. That's the Association of Mature American Citizens. If you're anything at all like the millions of other frustrated Americans looking for an alternative to that other senior organization and want to support an organization that takes responsibility and action, join AMAC. AMAC offers an alternative to just about every benefit that AARP offers, but without the liberal agenda, folks. I stand with AMAC. I hope that you will too. I encourage you today at amac.us/Carter. That's C-A-R-T-E-R. Put that in there. You're going to get a great benefit, great, great alternative to AARP. That's amac.us/Carter. The benefits of membership are great, but the cause is even greater. Join at amac.us/Carter today. Thank you, AMAC. Okay, where do I start? I mean, and I know this is an important issue for so many of us, but it's the border. It doesn't matter where you live. You could live in Cleveland, Ohio. You could live in, you know, in Mississippi. You can live in Fairfax, Virginia. You can live in Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon. I am telling you, the border affects your life. It affects your life. And I'm not just talking about immigrants, you know, illegal going across the border, the issues that we're facing there with illegal immigration. And, you know, as far as like our services, hospitals, things like that, social welfare issues. But I'm just talking about the drug cartels and the mass amounts of fentanyl, heroin, narcotics pouring across our streets. I'm also talking about the ability for these massive narco organizations to utilize their resources to, this is what I call an asymmetrical war against the United States. We know that China is one of the biggest things that China is doing right now, according to my sources, in Mexico, by the way, is creating money laundering operations in Mexico. Think about it. Money going through, circulating through Chinese banks, drug money. Fentanyl. What about with China with fentanyl? You don't think that there's other ways to conduct operations against an enemy state? I mean, we all try to play nice on the outside, but guess what? There is a war going against our nation right now, and our children are the apex of that war. And I'm not over-exaggerating this. Okay, I'm not playing games here. I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I have been talking about this for decades. I've been talking about the fact that we're not paying attention to the real national security implications of what is happening at our U.S. southern border. And I don't mean just standing on the border where I see the migrants flowing through and heartbreaking humanitarian stories where children have been abused. Not only are these children so tragically possibly now being abused inside this Freeman Coliseum facility, you know, in San Antonio, but it's happening at other facilities. And guess what? They've been abused on the road coming here. Many of them sent without their parents or without guardians, in the hands of predators. So that's one big chunk of this story, right, that we need to pay attention to. The other big chunk of the story that we are not paying attention to is things we don't see. This is what I talked with Congressman Jim Jordan about on the border yesterday. We were out there, you know, on the border of the Rio Grande. He had just done his big press conference. It was an incredible press conference. My good friend Burgess Owens was there, congressman out of the great state of Utah. He's wonderful, wonderful human being. Let me play you a clip from Burgess Owens. And I want you to hear this clip because this is about Kamala Harris, our vice president, and the need for the administration to get down here and pay some serious attention to what's going on at our border. This is Burgess Owens.
We're people who love our nation. We people love our culture. And this has been on purpose to a mass invasion of cultures that's not ours. That we don't give these young boys and girls a chance to assimilate. They're gonna grow up and vote against every single thing we believe in. It's on purpose. So I'm gonna say to President Biden and Vice President Harris, get some backbone, get some compassion. come down to the border and see what mess you've made down here that we're trying to fight to save our nation.
Yeah. Own up to it. Own up to it. Vice President Harris, President Joe Biden, own up to what is happening on this border, because this is Biden's problem. This, what is happening here along our roughly 2,000 mile border with Mexico right now, it is a problem that's been going on for decades. And I say many presidents, including President George Bush, have failed this country when it comes to our border security and our immigration policy. Biden is not the only one. President Obama also failed. I believe that President Trump was the first president to actually mean what he said when he said, it's not going to happen. The migration policy was meant under President Trump to tell people, you got to stay south of us until we can process you and figure out who you are. I am asking people, the first thing I ask both young and old, no matter who they are, when I see them coming across the border, is what brought you here? I'm not putting words in their mouth. I'm not making any, they don't even know who I am. They don't even know. They just think I'm some like crazy reporter woman on the border, like sweating with, you know, unmatching clothes. They're just like, whatever, maybe this lady could take us to some water or something. But they tell me, you know, they say it's like, they say Biden. And I say, well, why didn't you do this before? Well, because President Trump wouldn't let us in. So we had a certain amount of days to get into this country, and that's what we did. That is the message that Biden drove across the bows when he made all of his announcements, when he talked about reversing all of President Trump's reforms. And now you hear, you know, DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is saying, you know what? We might have to go back to reassessing the building of the wall. Like finishing the wall. Why do you think, folks, that he's reassessing that? I certainly hope that he does. It's because it's a mess. It's because I can tell you that pretty much no matter, except for one time, and I was only at the border for 1 hour, but every other time I've been down here, people have been pouring across the border. I mean, weeks and weeks, and I will see kids, I will see families, I'll see them walking with their bags in their hands, with their, you know, exhausted, and the heat. Oh gosh. It is so hot right now. You can't even imagine. Yesterday, it was like 97. I was like just dripping in sweat. And that's like nothing compared to the way it's going to be several weeks from now. So can you imagine what the death toll will be like for people that don't have access to water, for people that do get lost, for people that are trying to get in, for people that believe that what the Biden administration is saying is true, right? That they're going to get in here. And they are. For the most part, if you come in as a family unit, if you have a child, you are not going to be kicked back. That's why people are taking kids too and pretending that those are their children, because they don't want to be sent back. It is a just huge mess, huge mess. And so now we're looking at all of these moving parts and we're saying to ourselves, like, how do we fix this? How do we fix this problem? And where is Vice President Harris? I mean, obviously President Biden or somebody, I think it's Susan Rice, because I don't think Biden actually really appointed Vice President Harris to be in charge of immigration. I don't even think Biden knows where he is half the time. But I want you to listen to Jen Psaki. She's the press secretary, right? And she is talking about, listen to this excuse that she makes up when a reporter asks, why is Vice President Harris in Chicago and not at the border?
The vice president was visiting Chicago actually to talk about COVID and the importance of communities getting the vaccine when it's available and accessible to them. And so while she was there, like many Americans, she got a snack. I think she's allowed to do that.
A snack? Like, who is this? Who is Psaki? I mean, I don't even understand this. Like, how are we going to accept this? Are we as Americans going to be like, oh, okay, she just wanted to get a snack? By the way, I want to talk a little bit about Chicago because I think this is important. We know that in Chicago, where Vice President Harris was talking about the vaccine, children are killed every weekend in gang violence. We have more gang violence in Chicago than almost any place else in the United States. Well, I mean, you got Baltimore, you got other areas like Los Angeles, where you have serious gang violence on the streets, where some parents are terrified to have their children walk 3 or 4 blocks to school because they're scared they might not come home. They might end up with a bullet, right? Right? And the big deal here is Psaki and the administration always like to say, you know, all these poor kids from Honduras, they're living with gang violence. What? We have kids in Chicago, kids in Baltimore, kids in Los Angeles, kids in New York, kids in Boston, all across our great country that are living in impoverished neighborhoods, right? Poverty-stricken neighborhoods. It wasn't their choice. They were born into it. Nobody wants to have a life where their parents are a drug addict or where their parents can't work or where their parents are divorced or where they're living impoverished. Who wants that? Nobody, right? It's the luck of the draw. I always say, like, you know, every time I start complaining, I say to myself, first world problems, right? First world problems. You should see my hair today and my makeup. My makeup is still on, by the way, from last night. I'm being totally honest with you. I was so tired. I just like walked into my hotel room and I just plopped right into the bed because I was so sleepy. I barely even talked to my husband. I'm like, I just got to go to bed. And I fell asleep. And then I woke up and I made Jenny. Jenny Terrace here with me. Yay. She came with me to Texas this time. She's doing work from here. She's doing a little dance over there in the corner. I said, Jenny, you know what? Let's just go to Starbucks so I can wake up and get that $8 coffee that I can't even believe. I mean, well, it wasn't $8, but you know, it tastes good. It tastes good. It's just crazy, right? It's so expensive. But I came here and I'm looking like this, right? First world problems. Totally. I have no reason to complain. But those kids growing up in those neighborhoods in Chicago, in Boston, in Baltimore, the stories that I covered, even from my own neighborhood growing up in California, where young kids, you know, are found dead in the streets. What if they decided, can kids from Chicago and Boston just start walking and or hop on a plane and go to Japan and say, I'm looking for asylum in Japan. I'm looking for asylum in Germany because Chicago is full of violence. Think about it. Would Japan just open their arms up wide? Like, oh, of course, Chicago, it's such a terrible town. We're going to let you in. Come in. Come into Japan. No problem. No, that doesn't happen. It happens in America because we are one of the most giving nations on earth. Don't let anyone ever lie to you. We are one of the most giving nations on earth. We care so much about people. We're a melting pot. We want the poor, the hungry. Bring me those, you know, impoverished people. Come here. You who struggled, come. You know, you find your way to America, but do it legally. Do it legally. And if we have to, let's reform our system so that people have an easier way to apply for the system and a much more, I think, equitable way of applying for, you know, for immigration status in the United States. I mean, maybe there's other things we can do. I'm not an expert in this area of immigration. I'm not, you know, I don't have a law degree in this, right? But I do know that there's ways we can make it better. Ways we can make it better. But lying to the world or creating chaos and a crisis at our border is not resolving any problem. It is creating more problems than we know how to handle. I can't even begin to tell you how overcrowded these facilities are. These people and children are not being tested for COVID. Yet we had 24/7, the White House and the left utilizing COVID to take control of us as Americans, to take away our civil liberties, to basically tell us to stay on lockdown, to make us feel guilty if we just breathe next to someone. You know, it was like people are walking like five blocks away from you because they don't even want you to be near them. You're outside without a mask and you're getting like publicly shamed because the White House said it was okay to publicly shame people who don't wear masks pretty much. You know, we're living like in a different time. This is ridiculous. But yet, do you really think they're that worried about COVID when they shove over, you know, a room that should only be meant for 80 children and they put over 700 in that facility? Do you really think they care? Do you really think they're that afraid? Is anybody going to ask a question? Is anyone going to say, well, wait a minute. Vice President Kamala Harris, what the heck? They're not going to do it because our media is failing us as a nation. And that scares me. That scares me. Look at what's happening in the state of New York. Look at what's going on with Governor Andrew Cuomo. I mean, like, this guy is so desperate. Not only has he just basically, I can't even believe this, over 15,000 elderly died in facilities, I believe, due to his mismanagement of the COVID-19 crisis and just putting people recovering from COVID-19 and COVID-19 in a facility with people that were susceptible to COVID-19, right? And then lying about it, and then lying about it. And now, you know, all of this information comes out because the left, obviously, you know, Pelosi's done with him. She used him. She's done with him. He's old news. So she gets her troops together. And I believe he did sexually harass all of these young people, allegedly. They all are coming out saying, and wasn't it the left that said we should believe every allegation, every single one? Now they don't. Now, oh, well, we want to give him a chance. He has the right to speak up. Well, you didn't do that for Judge Kavanaugh. You didn't do that for President Trump, where the allegations were blatantly, blatantly unprovable and appeared to be very false. They were willing to just hang them out to dry. But here with Governor Cuomo, no. And now Governor Andrew Cuomo, and the reason I bring him up, and some New York lawmakers, they struck a deal Tuesday, apparently to give $2.1 billion in funding to provide assistance to jobless workers who were excluded from unemployment benefits during the pandemic. That includes, by the way, $15,000 checks to undocumented immigrants, illegal aliens. What do you think is going to happen when that message? What if I go down to the border with a bullhorn right now and say, you know, if you guys make it to New York, $15,000 checks on the American people for every single one of you during the COVID-19 crisis or for your families who've already lived there. Get down there quick. You got some money. I mean, what about the Americans who've lost jobs? What about the people whose businesses have been shuttered, who have nothing to go back to? You think that $20,000 check's going to help them? They're not even going to get that. They're not even going to get that. It's a joke. I swear, I was talking earlier with the producers here at the show, you know, about New York. It's and one of the producers, Rich, was like, you know, they're going to turn it into Gotham. This is just crazy. I was so excited about New York when I was working there, even when I was covering the Trump campaign in 2016, because I remember going to New York when I was young, when it was just a mess. It was just a nightmare. Homeless people on the street. It was scary. Crime through the roof. People getting shot. I was in New York. It was like gorgeous. This the city that really never sleeps. Beautiful. I never worried. I was down, you know, on 42nd Street. I was fine. Now New York is reversing. It's like there's no law and order. Cops don't even want to work in New York anymore. It's just like, forget it. You know, there's no one backing us up. And now Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to keep his job. And he's like going to pass out checks to illegal. I mean, I'm sorry. If you're illegal, you're illegal. I believe we need to take care of children. We need to do the best for them. There's nothing else we can do. We need to get them back home to their parents. We need to, whatever we need to do, but we have to have a rule of law. We have to have a rule of law. There's multiple layers to this immigration issue, and it's been happening for a long time. And now I'm going to tell you, it is far worse than we have ever seen. And I am telling you right now, I feel as does Congressman Jim Jordan, and he was talking about it because he said he never heard so many times, and you guys are going to hear that interview tonight, I hope, or when Sean Hannity plays it. Let's keep our fingers crossed that we have the time to do that, about the fact that absolutely more people are saying that, is it because they're doing it on purpose? Is the left actually doing this because they know that it will create chaos? And I don't like to say the word Democrat. I was talking to Congressman Burgess Owens about this. There used to be a time when we could debate the Democrats, Republicans, independents. We could all have a normal conversation. Not perfect, but even if there were members of our family from opposing political viewpoints, you could have a normal conversation. You cannot have a normal conversation with the left, with leftists, with Marxists, with socialists. They are always right. And they are fundamentally changing our nation. I want you to hear this sound clip. This is my good friend, Tom Homan, former head of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And he says, Biden has no compassion for migrants. Listen to this.
Administration's open borders policies show no compassion because 18,000 families have chosen to put their kids in the arms of criminal cartels to enter this country illegally. That is not compassion. That is dangerous, and it's just stupid. It's to say that loving parents send their kids to the border, which the secretary said, wrong. Loving parents don't put their kids in the arms of criminal cartels.
He is absolutely right. He is absolutely right. There are some circumstances sometimes that are out of someone's control. That's not the majority. You do not send your child. And let me tell you, I've interviewed parents before that left their children in Honduras 10 years earlier. I find them in the United States. Their kid finally comes across the border, 16 or 17. They're a member of MS-13. This was a very particular story that I worked on. I found his mother. She didn't know where he was. I knew that he was being held in a facility in Virginia and that he was considered extremely violent. When he was left by his mom, he was like 4 or 5 years old. She didn't have a husband. She came to the United States to get a job. She never made it back to pick him up. He ended up with family that just basically left him on the streets. He was raised by a gang, became extraordinarily violent. They had to put him in a facility in Fairfax, Virginia. I remember this story being very difficult because I got on the phone with his mother and she had gotten remarried and she had other kids. And she never went back for him. She didn't want to leave America. And then she sent the money to him, I guess, out of guilt, she told me, and wanted to see him. I don't know. I'm not here to call her the worst mother on earth. I don't know what happened in her life. But I do know that some of these children are abandoned. I do know that these children are put in the hands of predators that are so horrific and vicious that some of them, some of these kids, there was one girl out here just not several weeks ago. I was talking to a Border Patrol agent. She was so violently raped. She was probably 10 or 11 years old. She stopped talking. She did not utter a word. All she did was cry when they found her. They had to take her to the hospital. You tell me that's okay? I'm the firstborn in my mother's family, American. So this is... For my mother was everything. America was everything. America gave her a home. She came here on the Johnson Freedom flights. I remember I talked to you. I'm going to get to Alejandro Mayorkas, our DHS secretary, in a moment. He also came. He was born in Cuba, in Havana, Cuba, and he came to the United States, which is so stunning to me that he is the exact opposite of most Cubans who came during the 1960s, most of which are very conservative and really have a great passion and love for rule of law in the United States because they saw what happened in Cuba. And they raised their kids that way too. And I'm not judging him, but I'm saying that he seems very far to the left. And he's really chicken, which is not common among us Cubans. We're kind of feisty bunch. He doesn't want to, actually answer any questions but from reporters, and he doesn't want to talk to the guys on the front line. We'll get to that. But I'm telling you, the parents that send their children alone with these predators, unless you're like, I don't even know. It's like maybe if you were trying to get your kid to an IDP camp in Pakistan during the war in Afghanistan, where the Taliban was actually cutting off like girls' noses and ears and, punishing them for falling in love with a man that, they didn't get set up with, or for going to school and killing them for going to school. I don't see any reason why. I don't know. You would risk the life of your child with these monsters. The majority of these smugglers are not good people. Guys, they're not flying in on airplanes like Delta and taking a nice Greyhound bus to the border. They're not doing that. These children are traveling with really bad guys who are sexual predators who don't care about them. There was a baby that was literally thrown into the Rio Grande last month. A small kid. So that way, like, our Border Patrol agents would go after the child in the Rio and they would allow the others to pass through. Think about that. What kind of person would do that to a child? And now we have Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who, like, by the way, nobody should envy that job. This place is a disaster all across the border. And he doesn't want to answer any reporters' questions because he knows, he is not an idiot, that they just screwed up everything, that the Biden policies here are the worst policies that could have possibly been implemented right now. I mean, and think about it. This is just the beginning of his presidency. What is this country going to look like in 4 years? I want you to think about that. But he's supposed to be here today. He's going to El Paso first. He's going to have a roundtable. No questions from reporters. And he's going to come in here. And what I'm hearing, I'm going to try to find him today. I know you're going to hear this after I've already been on my long excursion. We'll talk about it on the next podcast. I hear that he's not going to talk to anyone, that he's going to stay away from the media, that he's only going to be on the ground here in McAllen for 1 hour. Think about that. I've been here for weeks and I don't even have the full story yet. This guy's supposed to care about our men and women on the front lines who every day put themselves on the front line, helping children, getting these people processed, bringing them water. They're not even able to spend their time catching the drugs that are coming across the border. It's insanity. It's complete and utter insanity. I want you to think about where our nation is right now and what we are doing. The reason I'm down here every single day, the reason I'm focused on these stories and, you know, I've spent my career covering them is because I really do believe that we as a free nation deserve to know the truth so that we can make the best informed decisions. My heart breaks when I'm down here. When I see these children, I want to cry every time I start talking about it because I see in their eyes the sadness, you know, like a hopelessness, a spirit that's broken, something that's lost. And then I see some hope when we take them in. But this crisis was brought on by the Biden administration because they made it happen. Don't let anyone tell you any different. They knew because under President Obama, the same thing happened in 2013 and 2014. 67,000 undocumented children plus came into the U.S. Now we have estimated over 120,000 are expected this fiscal year. What are we going to do with them? Where are we going to house them? What if we're sending them to predators and not to their real family? What are we going to do with our generation of children that are being inundated with narcotics from Mexico? And I'm not talking about, you know, the heroin addict on the corner. I'm talking about your kids in college who may get an Adderall pill from one of their friends and think it's like something that they got from a pharmacy and it's actually from across the border and it contains fentanyl. And the next call that a parent's going to get in this country is that their kid collapsed and died in their dorm because they took one Adderall laced with fentanyl. And what are we going to do about, you know, all these other nation states that are taking advantage of the chaos that the Biden administration created at the border and utilizing that against us in some type of asymmetrical warfare against our nation? We better get our stuff together, and we need to get our stuff together quick. And the Biden administration better wake up because, you know, I remember reading this somewhere. You know, it said, you know, how did you know when your nation, like everything just changed, turned over, like in communist countries? It appears you think it starts out really slow, but it usually turns over in one night. Like when Cuba, when my mother, you know, I remember talking to her. When did it all change, Mom? She said it was like it happened overnight. There was nothing you could do. It was like all of a sudden you had lost control of your country. I talked to friends of mine. People that I knew who grew up and left the former Soviet Union. One person in particular, I said, what was that like? She said, I couldn't talk. I couldn't even write a story without having an editor go over it to determine whether or not that was good information for the party, right? Because they're hiding the truth from you. Our job is to tell you the truth. Our job is to inform the American public. Inform each and every one of you so that you can know the truth and make the right decisions. This is not the fault. Do not put the fault on the poor, impoverished people that are coming here. Blame the government that is allowing this to happen. Blame them, right? Hold them accountable. Vote them out of office. Vote them out of office. Hold them accountable. Realize that if you were poor and you had nothing and a president from another country told you, hey, come on in, you got 100 days, we're going to turn over all these rules, you'd probably try it too. And also ensure that our government, you want solutions? Call them. Call your lawmakers. Tell them you're not going to put up with this. You want those drugs off our streets. You want to put your money where your mouth is. You want to work with Mexico and these other countries and hold them accountable for their narcotics and for their, for their drug czars. And you want to do whatever it takes to ensure that those narcotics organizations are taken down and dismantled. Let's seize their money. Let's call them terrorists. Let's resolve this issue. We shouldn't have to go through this every single year. It's infuriating. It's infuriating. We're not blind. There is no plausible deniability here. They know exactly what's going on. And before I wrap up, remember that border, it's not just about the drugs, which is horrible enough. It's not just about the horrific trafficking of human beings, but it's also about the terrorists. And the Biden administration got exposed when that press release came out and two men from Yemen on the terror watch list were apprehended in California. I want you to think about all the ones that got in. You think it was only those two guys? When Al-Qaeda sets up a sleeper cell, and Al-Qaeda is in Yemen, so I want you to think about that. When Al-Qaeda sets up sleeper cells, they usually do it in so that each member of the cell doesn't know who the other members are. That's how they did it on September 11th. They find the best way into the countries that they're targeting. And remember, Al-Qaeda has been very quiet. I'm not trying to be an alarmist here, but the two men that they captured may have been a godsend, because, or they may not have any extra information, but there are over 1,000 people that enter this country daily right now that are getting away, that have no name, that we have no idea who they are. And while our Border Patrol's busy taking care of children and family units, those people are coming in another way with these drug cartels. You need to think about that. You need to think about how far we have been exposed, and you need to hold your lawmakers accountable. Believe me, that's their job. It's our taxpayer dollars. We need to hold them accountable. Don't be lazy. You are the government, folks. We are, all of us together. We can't lose sight of that. They work for us. We don't work for them. Again, thank you so much for being a part of the Sarah Carter Show. I'm here in the great state of Texas, coming to you from McAllen, the Rio Grande Valley, where the food is delicious. And by the way, Junior Anzaldúas, thank you so much for all your hospitality. You're amazing. You have been so wonderful. By the way, Junior made us a barbecue on the Rio Grande, chicken that I've never tasted anything quite like it. It's so delicious. So delicious. You're my good friend, and you've always been there for me. Thank you so much, Junior, again. And thank you so much to the great state of Texas and everyone here for being so hospitable and being so open to all of us. Remember, follow me on Twitter at Sarah Carter DC. Get all of my stats at sarahacarter.com. We are getting ready to do more and more projects, possibly even go to Central America. Go to thedarkwire.com. That's thedarkwire.com. That's our foundation. It is a very, very important foundation to me. I want you all to understand that I will do everything I can, probably until I'm so old I can't get up anymore, to expose the truth and bring you the truth. Remember, here at the Sarah Carter Show, we are taking the story back. Today, I'm joined by Rebecca Weber, the CEO of the Association for Mature American Citizens. It's also known as AMAC. The most important question, I think, for so many people out there is, how much does AMAC membership cost? What does it cost the regular consumer?
Yeah, so for $16 a year, okay, or less, you can join at a 1, 3, or 5-year membership. You get a couple of things. You get the benefits. You get a great subscription to a magazine. So for $16, you're going to receive a bi-monthly magazine. But your voice is now going to be heard in Washington. We take our marching orders from you. If you stand for faith, family, freedom, if you believe in the Constitution, if you believe in the greatness of America, if you believe in individual freedoms and everything you just said, Sarah, $16 is not a lot of money to join the 2.3 million members that are really fighting hard to ensure that America remains the best country in the world.
Rebecca, thanks so much for being with me today. I'm honored to have you and AMAC as a sponsor for the Sarah Carter Show. You know, for more information, folks, visit amac.us/Carter.